As I lay the foundation, would you follow me very carefully, please? Jeremiah had predicted the coming of Nebuchadnezzar and the mighty Babylonian army for the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and the carrying away of the Jews into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. I wonder how many times we mention that term, Babylonian captivity. Because so much of the Old Testament is built around that little 70-year period we call Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah had preached for the people to turn from their sins and turn to God and be spared of the awful invasion from the enemy, from Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar. However, he came to the place to where he realized that the invasion was inevitable, the captivity was inevitable, and his warnings turned to lamentations because of the inevitability of the coming destruction of the city, the temple, the wall, and the taking of the Jews into captivity for those 70 years. However, there was another preacher in the land whose name was Hananiah. Now, Jeremiah was a real, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, hell-hating, sin-fighting, hell-raising, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, barn-storming preacher. Hananiah was an ear-tickling, back-scratching, pussy-footing, nickel-nipping, soft-soaping, peak tea and lemonade, compromiser. Hananiah heard Jeremiah speak, and Hananiah also preached, and Hananiah said that Jeremiah's prophecy was wrong. He said to the people, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to come. The temple is not going to be destroyed. The wall will not be leveled. And not only that, but he said the sacred vessels will be returned. The sacred vessels of the sanctuary had already been taken by Nebuchadnezzar. And Hananiah said they'll be returned within 2 years. Jeremiah said, no, destruction is going to come. There's no way to avoid it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hananiah said, no, that isn't true. Hananiah wanted the people to like him, and so he said, no, destruction is not going to come. You're a doomsayer, and destruction is not going to come. And Jeremiah kept preaching the coming destruction as God had told him. Hananiah kept denying the coming destruction as the devil had told him. To illustrate the situation, Jeremiah put on a yoke, a wooden yoke. And he said, this yoke represents what God is going to do to the people of God. Hananiah walked up and broke off the yoke from Jeremiah, saying that yoke is not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to have a yoke. And he broke the yoke of wood off of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, what you're doing, you little pussyfoot, nair-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, soft-soaping, pink-tea and lemonade compromiser. He said, what you're doing and your kind of preaching is going to give the folks not just the yoke of wood, but you're causing these folks to have to bear a yoke of iron. He said, you've got your choice. You bear the yoke of wood or you bear the yoke of iron. You see, America's full of these iron yoke makers tonight. The liberal preachers are iron yoke makers. And, the preacher says there's no hell and there's no heaven and there's no regeneration. He's an iron yoke maker. He's causing you to have a heavier yoke than you would have had if he'd kept his big mouth shut. The liquor dealers are iron yoke makers. They're making yokes of iron to put around your neck, so you'll have to bear, instead of a yoke of wood of abstinence, you'll have to wear a yoke of iron of addiction. And the liquor makers, the dirty liquor traffic, and the liquor sellers are iron yoke makers preparing for you something that'll cause you to be in bondage, not just to a yoke of wood, but a yoke of iron. The dope peddlers are iron yoke makers. The movie makers are iron yoke makers. Hollywood is composed of iron yoke makers. Your dirty soap operas are iron yoke makers. Your primetime television programs are iron yoke makers. Your video movies are iron yoke makers. I'm saying that America's full of these people. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you are tonight bearing a yoke. You are tonight under the yoke of restraint, under the yoke of the Word of God and the commandments of God. Or you say, I want to be free. You're not going to be free. You're going to bear a yoke. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And the next line says, take my yoke upon you. Everybody bears a yoke. Everyone bears a yoke. You either bear the wooden yoke of obedience to God and of submission to God, or you bear the iron yoke of submission to the devil and the world and the flesh. The rock music singers are iron yoke makers. I'd like to have a year at Howells Anderson College this year where every student realizes that rock music is out of hell. I'd like to have that kind of year this year. You say, I just don't agree with you. Now, don't come with me with that kind of garbage. It's not that you have a conviction that God didn't speak to you and say rock music is all right. You just like it, and you hide behind the fact that we don't agree to get your sin committed, and you're hiding your sin behind the facade that is no conviction. The honest, simple truth, rock music is out of hell, and the rock music groups are iron yoke makers, and the rock music writers are iron yoke makers. The tobacco growers are iron yoke makers. Down in North Carolina, I've been down there preaching quite a bit lately. And I flew to Durham, and I was met there by an older man. He must have been 61. He's too old to still be alive, really. And he met me there. He's older than I, and he was a farmer. And sort of a naive kind of a fella. And he drove me back. He's the deacon of the church and drove me back to the my motel room in the church area, the town, Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, where I was preaching. And we were driving along, and I noticed the corn was in bad shape. I never saw the corn in a drier and worse shape in my life. And I said, man alive, your corn is in bad shape, isn't it? He said, yes, before he realized it. He said, yes, but God sure has given us a good tobacco crop. And then he said, oh, Lord, have mercy. He realized what he had said. I'm saying that tobacco growers are iron yoke makers. I'm saying that tobacco workers in tobacco factories are iron yoke makers. They're also cancer makers. I'm saying that people that sell cigarettes are iron yoke makers. Fellow says, I want to be free to smoke. Okay, you don't keep the rule of smoking, and that yoke of wood, you trade it, and then you're a chain smoker, and you got a yoke of iron instead of the yoke of wood. Playboy magazine crowd are iron yoke makers. The American Civil Liberties Union, iron yoke makers. The women's rights crowd is an iron yoke making crowd. Congressmen who allow abortion are iron yoke making crowd. Doctors who perform the operation are a part of the iron yoke making crowd. The gay crowd is a part of the iron yoke making crowd. The state universities in America, and I'll tell you what, I've declared war on the state universities. I got a boy that goes there. Well, you can get right for that like you can for drinking. I'm simply saying that the state university, with its humanism, and it's atheism, and it's godlessness, and the male and female being in the same dormitories, coeducational dormitories, I'm saying they're iron yoke makers. We say, I just don't see eye to eye with you. Don't say that. You got some convictions. Won't you just keep your mouth shut? Your ignorance is falling out. Anybody in America has any sense know that it's wrong for females and males to share the same dormitories? Anybody knows that? Anybody knows that humanism's wrong? Anybody knows that atheism is wrong? Anybody knows that communism is wrong? Anybody knows that godlessness is wrong? Anybody knows that free love is wrong? Anybody knows the new morality is wrong? Anybody knows that situation ethics is wrong? Now, why don't you go ahead and say, I love the devil, and I want to serve the devil, and I want the devil's music, and go to the devil's college, and drink the devil's liquor, and smoke the devil's cigarettes. I'd have more respect for you than hiding behind conviction. Nobody has a conviction that drinking's okay. You have a preference to drink the stuff, but you don't have a conviction about it. I'm saying it's iron yoke maker. Brother Sisson, get that wood yoke behind you there, right in front of those fellows that are sleeping. I'd like to have this microphone turned on, fellas, right here. If I could, please, just hold it over there, please. Just hold it over there. Mr. Sisson, you're holding a yoke of wood. And you're like, in holding that yoke of wood, you're going to hold some kind of a yoke. A yoke of wood tonight represents work. A yoke of wood represents diligence. A yoke of wood represents punctuality. A yoke of wood represents studying. A yoke of wood represents industry. A yoke of wood represents getting up and getting to work on time. And that's the yoke that you're bearing tonight, that yoke of wood. But you say, as this old welfare check receiving country of ours says, I don't want to work. I don't want to work. I don't want to get up early. I want to stay in bed. Now, what you're doing when you say that is you're trading the wooden yoke of work for the iron yoke of laziness. Now, you got that wooden yoke. You're doing a pretty good job. Now, get that iron yoke over there. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. About 10 of you fellows, bring it to him. Hold it now. You don't want to work, do you?
Oh, yes, sir.
No, you don't want to work. No. So he says, I don't want to work. I want the government to take care of me. So he says, I'm tired of bearing this yoke of work and sweat and punctuality and diligence, and I'm tired of it. So what does he do? He lays down his yoke of wood and lifts up the yoke of iron. You won't hold it that way very long, I'm not even sure. So what is this? That's the yoke of laziness. And brother, that yoke of laziness is far heavier than the yoke of work. And you got your choice. Everybody in this room tonight is either bearing... you getting tired? Okay. Put it down. Take the wooden one. Everybody in this room tonight is either bearing that yoke. I'm talking about studying for your grades and not cheating for them. I'm talking about working hard. I'm talking about honoring the name of Christ with 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. I'm talking about giving your employee what his pay deserves and what you're supposed to do. I'm not talking about these lazy preachers who get up at 8 o'clock every morning. I'm not talking about these lazy housewives. Don't get up and cook any breakfast for your children or your husband and lay there in the bed till 9 o'clock in the morning so you can get up in time to watch the morning soap operas. I'm talking about you. You lay down that yoke of wood, that yoke of work. Listen, America was built on the work ethic and not the loaf ethic. And everybody in this room tonight is either bearing that yoke of wood or that yoke of iron. Now, I guarantee you, the yoke of laziness is a heavier yoke than the yoke of work. And the yoke of indifference is a heavier yoke than the yoke of industry. And the yoke of loafing is a heavier yoke than the yoke of working. I'm simply saying that if you won't work hard, you're not right with God. Did you hear what I said? I said if you don't study hard in school, you're not right with God. I said if you don't work hard on your job, you're not right with God. If you don't come to work on time, you folks that work for Hammond, First Baptist Church of Hammond, come dragging in here 5-10 minutes late every morning to work. I don't say anything to you, but God sees what you're doing. I guarantee you, brother, once you get that yoke of laziness, it's hard to break. And you have tonight either the yoke of work and diligence and study and sweat and labor, or you have the yoke of iron, which is laziness, which someday will destroy and wreck your life. Thank you, brother, sister. Now, there's another, I'm not through with this. There's another yoke tonight. Brother Eau Claire, would you come up here, please, and pick up that yoke of wood? Now, that yoke of wood here, not only is the yoke of work, it's the yoke of abstinence. Now, by abstinence, you mean you don't touch it. It don't mean you smoke occasionally, it means you don't touch it at all. It don't mean that you drink every once in a while, it means you never touch liquor. It doesn't mean that you touch liquor only at the Christmas party for your company, it means you never touch liquor. The word abstinence means abstinence. In the Greek, it means abstinence. In the Hebrew, it means abstinence. In the French, it means abstinence. In the Hillbilly, it means you ain't doing it at all. Now, that's the yoke of wood. I'm not going to say it is that it's easy to abstain. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it, that it's no yoke. It is a yoke. It's hard to abstain. It's a yoke of wood. But you say, I'm tired of abstinence. I'm tired of not drinking anything. And by the way, I want to say this. The yoke of wood is abstinence. The yoke of iron is addiction. But I want you to hear me carefully. Addiction is not drinking 5 quarts a day. You can be addicted to 1 can a week. Addiction progressive. For you new college students, I like to use big words the first night. Addiction is progressive. Stay out of this. It's progressive. Now that means this. That means if you've got to have 5 packs a day, you're addicted. If you've got to have 1 cigarette a day, you're addicted. If you've got to have 40 cups of coffee a day, you're addicted. If you've got to have 1 cup in the morning to wake up, you're addicted. I'm not preaching against coffee. I'm talking about addiction. I'm saying that if you ever smoke marijuana, you're addicted. You're addicted to whatever you have regularly. You got 1 snort. Do you snort marijuana? You don't. You smoke it. If you have to have 1 snort a year, you're an addict. I'm saying either you have the wooden yoke of abstinence, or ain't come very easy, did it? Or it's slippery. Or it's slippery because your hands have been sweating because you know how heavy it is. So now, that you can't hold that very long, can you? No, sir.
No, sir.
That's right. No, sir. No. Now, everybody in this room tonight is either holding that yoke or that yoke. I mean, that yoke or that one. Everybody in this room tonight, listen. There are folks in this room tonight, that yoke of abstinence, or that yoke of addiction, and you're not in between. Yeah, I'm not bearing. Oh, yes, you are bearing a yoke too. You have the yoke of labor, or you have the yoke of laziness. And laziness is more binding and a heavier load than labor. And addiction, how come you're holding it down lower all the time?
It's standing taller.
Well, you pull your feet back. You either tonight have the wooden yoke of abstinence, or you have the iron yoke. You guys, you doing any, getting ready? Iron yoke of addiction. You can put it down, Bob. Now, we
You want to be free.
You're gonna have enough to carry after a while.
Yeah, the old humanist crowd says, we want to be free from rules. We want to be free so we can smoke pot. So you lay down the wooden yoke of freedom from smoking pot so you can smoke pot. I'll guarantee you one thing, my brother or sister. One of these days, you'll be addicted to pot far more than you were addicted to abstinence. And the yoke of smoking pot is far heavier. It's a yoke of iron. Abstinence, bless God, is a yoke of wood. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he saying? He's saying compared to the yoke the devil puts you under, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, watch this, folks. Well, I don't have time right now. I've got to go on. This thing right here. He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I can't do it again. Now he doesn't say, okay. No, oh no. He says, take my yoke. And brother, after you carried that rascal, this thing right here is almost like a feather. Now you listen to me. You little pipsqueak teenagers think it's smart to smoke your pot. What you've done, you've traded your yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. You think it's smart to hide from mom and dad and take a little nip of liquor. You're trading your yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. Young lady, sit up while I'm preaching back there. You need to hear what I'm saying. Sick and tired of the dirty humanist crowd calling us legalists. There is no yoke. There is no bondage as heavy and as binding as the bondage of the devil. Pick up the wooden yoke. That's the yoke of purity. That's the yoke of chastity. That's the yoke of walking down the aisle to get married a virgin. I said that's the yoke of young lady walking down the aisle, and when the pastor says, who gives this woman in marriage or who gives the bride away, and her dad says, I do, or her mother and I do, depending on whether he's infected or not. Well, this thing right here is about to fly away at the light. I mean, every single young lady in this room, when you walk down that aisle right there, and a young man extends his arm, and you reach up and take his arm, you ought to be able to say to him, I've saved this body for you. I've not been rubbed on by every old boy in school like a cat rubs on a guy's leg. I've not been in lover's lane parking and set in my purity. You say, well, I want to be free. I don't like the rules that mom and dad have. I'll tell you one thing. You better thank God for rules that mom and dad have because they're yokes of wood. And the alternative to mom and dad's rules is a yoke of iron, and you better listen to me before you wreck your life with impurity and get pregnant before you're married. You better listen to me, and you better say, bless God, thank God for rules, thank God for standards, thank God for mama, thank God for daddy, thank God for Christian school, thank God for Brother Hiles. Now you listen to me. Everybody in this room bears the yoke of purity or the yoke of passion. And I'll guarantee you, brother, that yoke of passion is 10 times as heavy as that yoke of purity. And I'll guarantee you that if you'll restrain yourself and be pure and decent and moral and chaste, by the way, every young man in this room owes it to his future bride to stay clean. When you extend that arm to her when she walks down the aisle, you ought to say to her, that arm is clean. Hadn't hugged every old girl in the sophomore class of high school, in the junior class, the senior class, and in the freshman class in college, and the sophomore class in college. We've kept the rules of the college. We've not sold our purity. We've not traded our yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. But I'm talking to some little half-baked pipsqueaks tonight who think you know more than Hiles Anderson College does, and think you know more than Brother Hiles does, who think you want to get free of this. Well, the only alternative you've got to get free of that, pick it up, is that. How you feel? Under a big load. Make your choice. Make your choice. He said, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it. Not. Doesn't change it. It's true. Let God be true and ever seen you're a liar. Bible said, let God be true and every sophomore a liar. Let God be true and every dope head a liar. Let God be true and every adulterer a liar. Let God be true and every whoremonger a liar. Let God be true and every rule breaker a liar. Thank God tonight there's still some places where we have yokes of wood. You don't have to bear the yoke of iron if you don't want to bear the yoke of iron. Thank you. Knowing your physical prowess, I didn't make you hold it as long as they did. Everybody in this room tonight is either bearing the yoke of wood, of work, or the yoke of iron, of laziness. Everybody in this room tonight is either bearing the yoke of wood, of abstinence, or the yoke of iron, of addiction. Everybody in this room tonight is either bearing the yoke of wood, of purity, or the yoke of iron, of passion. Talking about the passion on television. Talking about the passion on video movies. Boy, I tell you, if I could, I'd preach a series of sermons on that. You little cowards that turn the lights off in your house and turn that filth and garbage and bring Hollywood adulterers and whoremongers and dope heads and drunks into your room. That isn't all. Not only is everybody in this room tonight bearing the yoke of wood, of work, or the yoke of iron, of laziness, the yoke of wood, of abstinence, or the yoke of iron, of addiction, the yoke of wood, of purity, or the yoke of iron, of passion. But everybody in this room tonight is bearing the yoke of the wood of preparation, or the yoke of iron, of failure. Choose you. The wood. That's the yoke of studying, preparing. That's the yoke of getting ready. That's the yoke of not trying to just barely get by in school. That's the yoke of preparation. Now you listen to me. You are going to be what you prepare to be. And you are going to do what you prepare to do. Somebody asked me the other night, how long did you take preparing that study for Wednesday night? It took 41 years, I said. 41 years. Why? Preparation. Preparation. Now, you going to bear that yoke? You going to bear that yoke of wood of preparation? Or are you going to bear that yoke of iron of failure? You say, well, he gets all the breaks. No, he did all the preparing. So, here you are. Listen, some of you folks that don't study, you get by because you got a pretty good brain. You make a C when you could make an A. And brother, you're going to use it. When you could make an A and you make a C, you've got a double sin right there. I'm saying it's time that young people in America got the same character they've got in Japan. Why? They commit suicide. In Japan, when they fail, why don't you do it? After you pay your bill. I don't think you ought to commit suicide, but I think it's a shame, and it's just as much a shame in America for you not to prepare for your future as it is for you to not prepare in Japan. I'm saying we need a generation of young people that know how to sweat and how to work and how to get up, and it's a shame and a disgrace for a bunch of young folks to be laying around till 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning while mom is working and daddy working. Get off your blessed assurance and get to work, you lazy hound dog, you. You're either carrying tonight the yoke of wood of preparation, or you will carry, sort of, the yoke of iron of failure. And one of these days, you're going to be bound to that yoke of iron. I get letters nearly every week and several a month from people who said, Brother Hiles, when I was young, I didn't prepare. I got out in the work field, and I wasn't ready. and my life is a flop, and my life is a failure, and they're bearing the yoke of failure, and brother, that yoke is almost impossible to break. Because once you are, see, you won't come back to prepare. You will fail and you'll blame, you preachers, you'll blame the field. It's a hard area. No, you're not prepared, you lazy hound dog, you're not prepared. And then you'll blame the Catholics. Then you'll blame the Mormons. Then you'll blame the morons. Then you'll blame your wife. Then you'll blame the deacons. That's where the trouble is up there. No, sir, the trouble's in the guy you shave because you didn't prepare. You think it's tough to get up and study and burn the midnight oil now to prepare. You wait till you go out there unprepared and burn the midnight oil to cry. If while you've got a chance, high schoolers, prepare! Lift up the yoke of wood and say, thank God, I'm going to work and prepare so I won't have to bear the yoke of iron. How you doing? Well, you didn't throw it down. You dropped it down. There's another one. The yoke of knowledge or the yoke of ignorance. Now, as skinny as you are, you better watch it. Somebody's going to think you're one of those yokes. After you picked that up, Keith, we should have picked you up instead of that. We don't read enough. We don't read enough. I've walked with Billy Sunday in his citywide campaigns. I've walked with Dwight Moody in his great London revival. I walked beside David Brainerd and prayed beside him when he was 29 years of age and prayed himself to death because of the burden he had for the Indians. I walked with Praying Hyde as he prayed and begged for God's power. I walked with Charles G. Finney. I walked with Savonarola. I walked to the stake with John Huss. I walked in great missionary journeys with David Livingston and Ann Narenheim Judson. How? Through the printed page. Simply saying, you don't have to be ignorant as long as you've got a library somewhere. You don't have to be ignorant as long as you've got the Word of God. Now you listen to me. Either you're going to bear this yoke right here. And that's not a heavy yoke. I picked it up with one hand just like that. Now, I'm not saying it's no yoke at all. Sure, it's a yoke to study. Sure, it's a burden to work. Sure, it's a burden to be pure. Sure, it's a burden to say no when everybody else is smoking pot. Sure, it's a burden to say no when everybody else is drinking liquor. Sure, it's a burden to say, I'll not listen to that rock music when everybody else is listening to it. Sure, I'm not saying it isn't hard. I'm simply saying it is 10 times as hard when you do it and are bound by the yoke of bondage and the yoke of passion and the yoke of laziness and the yoke of addiction and the yoke of failure and the yoke of ignorance. Everybody in this room tonight either is carrying the yoke of study or the yoke of ignorance. What are you going to do, preachers? What are you going to do when you're sick? And you're too sick to study. And you've got to walk the pulpit someday without feeling well enough for your mind to even study. What you going to preach on? You're going to wish you had studied then. You're going to bear that yoke of ignorance the rest of your life. Now you listen to me. Young people, you'll love me forever. And my Bible says, when I get older, I'm going to bear that yoke. No, you will already be addicted by the time you get older. But the Bible says it is good to bear the yoke in your youth.
That's why your teenage boy or your little junior boy ought to have more duties around the house than taking the garbage out twice a week. Teach him how to work. That's why your daughter ought to do more work than just painting her face. That's what toll painting is. Before you marry, you better ask her one time to come as she is. Just as I am, without one plea. But that Avon was shed for me. O husband of the to-be, I come. I come. And you will say, who are you? It's up to you. Either you're not going to listen to me. No, you're not going to listen. But hey, what you're going to do, one of these days you're going to be carrying that yoke right there and wish you had listened to me. You're going to be bound. Thank you. You're going to be bound one of these days to liquor and wish you had listened to me. You're going to be a slave to marijuana and wish you had listened to me. You're going to be out yonder in the field unprepared and lazy, and the only hope you've got is if Mr. Dukakis gets elected president so he can give you and all the rest of the loafers a check every month. I'm not saying everybody gets a check from the government, the loafer. I'm just saying 90% of them are. Don't have to give money for fellas sitting on their, laying on their back, watching the television set look like a blown up balloon in the middle. Like they swallowed a watermelon whole. We ought to say to fellas, you go to work, you'll get paid. Well, you say, but the house, you can't, how you give them all jobs? Like the army did. Captain said, Hiles, see that pile of bricks there? Looked like to me it was what they had left over when they stopped the Tower of Babel. Said, move them across the street. I said, if you want them across the street, sir, you'll have them across the street. So I moved those bricks across the street. All day long, I did nothing but move those bricks across the street. Hour after hour, I moved those bricks across the street. What are you doing sitting right in the middle of the street here? But that's all I did. Next day, Captain Fuller said, Hiles, yes, sir. Move those bricks back across the street. I said, Captain Fuller, I don't think, he said, you're not paid to think, you're paid to move those bricks back across the street. So the next day I lift those bricks. You know why? Because he knew it's better for me to work if there's nothing to do than to loaf if there's nothing to do. Hey, what the welfare folks ought to do, we ought to get a bunch of bricks and just line the highway with them. And just say every other day you move them one way. Bible said if you don't work, you don't have a right to eat. You say, what does that mean? That means lay down and starve to death till your stomach swells and busts and you stink. You don't work. Well, B.B. Krim used to say God hates a lazy devil. I don't know whether God does or not, but I do. I'm simply saying, decide. This old generation of ours, young people think they own it. Bunch of college students never have run a hot dog stand, think they can run a country. Say, let us be free. And the honest, simple, look at the Chicago Bears. Look at the dope. Look at the National Football League. Fellas making $1 million a year are bound by dope and they can't quit it. Why? They've got the yoke of iron. They've got their freedom from that yoke of wood. They've got it. And they're making $1 million a year. And wrecking their hopes for the making it in the future because they cannot quit it. Look at Lawrence Taylor of the New York Giants, best linebacker in football. Back again. Why? Yoke of iron. You say, I'll not ever be addicted. Nobody ever said, I think I'll get addicted. I know what, I've got the whole day off. I'll become an alcoholic today. Nobody ever said that. Nobody wants to carry the yoke of iron. But when you lay aside that yoke of wood, you pick up that yoke of iron, because everybody in this room carries one yoke or the other.
That's heavy to you, isn't it? His appendix just ruptured.
Yoke of patience. Yoke of patience. Everybody here tonight is bearing this yoke of patience or that yoke of temper.
It's up to you.
But you don't bear none either of them. You either bear the yoke of patience or you bear the yoke of temper. You say, people say to me, over the house, it's just better to go ahead and say it. Let it out. It's good for the soul. You've been listening to some pagan psychologist. My Bible doesn't say it's good for the soul. My Bible said a soft answer turns away wrath. My Bible says it's supposed to be forbearant. My Bible says it's supposed to have long suffering. My Bible says long suffering is one of the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody in this room, well, Brother, I just have a hot temper. You don't have any more hot temper than anybody else does. You either tonight are restraining yourself with patience, or you... This I've got to see. One or the other. There's your temper tantrums. Try to break your temper once you are addicted to it. I guarantee you it's a lot easier not to speak when you don't lose your temper than it is to quit speaking when you have your temper. It's a lot easier to bear the yoke of wood of restraint, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, and to bear the iron yoke of temper. How you doing? Your doctor said you didn't lift over what?
10 pounds.
10 pounds. Okay. I'm a doctor, and I just revoked your doctor's order. Thank you. What's wrong with America? Nobody wants to bear any yoke. You know why our students can't read and write? You know, an amazing thing. Mr. Dukakis blames Mr. Bush, and Mr. Bush blames Mr. Dukakis because we can't read and write. Why doesn't somebody get down the real thing and blame the parents that didn't teach them to make those kids learn to work? Why doesn't somebody blame the school teacher that doesn't fail them, keep them in the first grade if they're 35 years old if they don't learn to read and write? Let's get down to the real trouble. It's not Dukakis' fault. Everything else is, but that's not his fault. Not Mr. Bush's fault. The fault of a generation of people who've let a bunch of kids go unrestrained, untaught, unspanked, undisciplined, unworked, unsweat. Either you carry tonight the wooden yoke of work or the iron yoke of laziness, the wooden yoke of abstinence or the iron yoke of addiction, the wooden yoke of purity, of the iron yoke of passion, the wooden yoke of preparation, of the iron yoke of failure, the wooden yoke of industry, or the iron yoke of poverty, the wooden yoke of knowledge, or the iron yoke of ignorance, the wooden yoke of patience, or the iron yoke of temper, or the wooden yoke of rules, or the iron yoke of anarchy. You can't even carry your watch, can you? Come on, Brother Kruger. I don't want to be under authority. I am 14 years old. I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. Yeah. I want to do my own thing. I don't dig these rules. I want to go to a public school. And don't you tell me for one second, you little teenage pipsqueak, don't you tell me for one second that it's because you don't lack the principle or the faculty. What it is you are a rebel and you want to go to a school where you can be a rebel and be among rebels and get by with it without being punished.
Face up to it!
So you take off that yoke of obedience, of rules. Put it down for now. Just stand there with that either one. I'm letting you rest a while. I know your condition. I'll use my illustration I use here about once every year. I was out in Southern California preaching. Dr. Roland Rasmussen. I've been there every year, about 21, 22 years or so. One morning I got up, took a walk early in the morning. Beautiful day. I go out usually in the month of April or May. Beautiful in Southern California. This particular morning, the sun was shining, it was crisp, and the birds were singing. I took a walk, must have been 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning, somewhere between then and 11:30, I'm not sure exactly what time, doesn't matter. I took a walk. I came to a corner house. Road coming this way, and the house was right here. A chain-link fence was around the backyard of the house. And inside that fence was a little Chihuahua dog. Looked like he had just been hatched. About the size of a barking rat. He was running up and down inside that fence going, woof, 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 woof. Woof, 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 woof. Woof, 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 woof. Here's the fence right here. And right outside that fence was a big old bulldog. I mean, I don't mean a pit bull. I mean a bulldog that just ate a pit bull. He was laying down, had four or five chins stacked on top of each other. And that little dog was going up down that fence going, woof, 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 woof. Well, I studied Chihuahuanese in school, and I know what he was saying. He was saying, woof, woof, let me out. Woof, woof, let me out. Woof, woof, I want to be free. There's a female Chihuahua. Woof, woof, I'm tired of wearing these skirts. No, I'm sorry, it's a male Chihuahua. Woof, woof, I don't want a haircut. Woof, woof, let me out, let me out. Now, the bulldog, laying down outside the fence, ready for breakfast. He was going to have Chihuahua a la King. He already had his napkin around his neck. And he wasn't moving his face at all. He was just moving his eyes as the Chihuahua walked by. And Chihuahua said, woof, 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 let me out. Let me out. Woof, 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 let me out. And ask you a question. Well, Chihuahua said, I want to be free. I'm tired of these rules. Let me be free. And ask you a question. Where was that Chihuahua's freedom? Inside that fence or outside that fence? The freedom in Indiana is at Howells Anderson College, not the University of Indiana. We've taken everything we can think of that will enslave you and put it outside the fence. The freedom at Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Grade School, that's where the freedom is, not at the public schools. We've taken the things that will enslave you and the things that will take away your freedom. And the things that will make you lift up a yoke of iron, we put them outside the fence. And what are you doing?
Woof, 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 woof. I want to get out.
And the bulldogs are outside that fence ready to get you.
I want to be free. I want to go to Valparaiso.
I said it, didn't I?
I want to go to the University of Indiana. I want to go to the University of Illinois. Woof, woof. I'm tired of these rules.
You said, that's not why I go. How come it is your hair is twice as long after you've gone? How come you look like they do within 3 months or 3 weeks?
Woof, woof, woof. Let me out. Let me out.
Well, bless God, somebody loves you enough to put the things that enslave you outside the fence, and freedom is not outside the fence. Slavery is outside the fence.
Liquor is outside the fence. Dope is outside the fence. Illicit sex is outside the fence. The queers are outside the fence. Bless God, freedom is inside the fence. But you got your rules. You lay down that everybody here is carrying that wooden yoke of rules and obedience and discipline, or you're carrying that iron yoke. The iron yoke of anarchy. And every empire that's ever been destroyed in the history of the world was destroyed by anarchy. I want to be free! I want to be free! You see, either you tonight are carrying the wooden yoke of submission to God's will, or the iron yoke of the submission to Satan's will. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Hobbs. Not me. I'm not doing God's will, but I'm not doing the devil's will either. Let me remind you of something. The devil has no will for your life. The will of the devil for your life is for you not to do God's will. That's why in Isaiah 53:6 it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. The devil's not trying to get you to come his way. He's trying to get you to go your own way. Because you go your own way, you're not going God's way. You're not going God's way. That's what the devil wants. And the devil, rather you be in bondage to him by going your own way than his way, because you go your own way, you think you're not going his way. You don't have a guilty conscience about it. So either you bear tonight the wooden yoke of the will of God, or you bear the iron yoke of the will of Satan. Up here. I just looked at you, is all it is. The wooden yoke of praise or the iron yoke of complaining. Everybody here does one or the other. One or the other. No middle ground. You either praise God or complain about the situation in life. Well, Brother Hounds, I just don't say, I can go around praising God all the time. Don't freeze that way. Brother, as long as I'm praising God, I can't use my tongue for complaining.
Hey.
And you either bearing tonight the wooden yoke of praise. Now, I'm not saying it's always easy to praise God. I'm saying sometimes it's hard to praise God for some things that happen in your life. But you go ahead and praise God anyhow. Brother Roloff started that little statement. I went down to his office one time and he's at the bottom. Looked up on the wall and it just said, praise God anyhow. Didn't say why, I just said, praise God anyhow. You either praise and bear the yoke of wood, or exchange that yoke of wood for yoke of iron. And once you become a complainer, it's almost impossible to stop. Once you've gotten the place, you don't even know you're complaining. You just complain instinctively. And you got the iron yoke. Now, that's the last point. But Brother Eddie, come over here. Wood. Iron. Evans. Wood. Be much in prayer, folks. Iron. My hero. I had nothing to do with the sermon. I just didn't want you to get by without it. That's all. I've watched them for 41 years. Let me tell you about a few of them. A male prostitute. I want to tell you about several people. A male prostitute. Young man over in Chicago made his living dressing like a female.
lipstick, rouge, powder, face powder, wig, all of it. Made himself look like a beautiful girl. Lured evil men to his apartment. While they went to wash up, he got their billfolds, climbed out the window, and left. Male prostitute. Illustration number one. I'll come back to it in a minute. Illustration number two. Beautiful blonde girl in our church. Became a call girl. She was hired by some wealthy men to go to one of the high-rise apartments over here on North Shore Drive. Did nothing but stay in luxury. They bought her all kinds of fur coats and all kinds of expensive cars. Anything she wanted. Diamonds, everything she wanted. She just lived there till one of them got lustful. They came. She romanced them. They left. Sort of a sexual HMO. Another. While I'm standing here right now, young man in prison in Virginia. 25 years prison. Another. Young ladies in this tonight bearing illegitimate children in their bodies. Thinking about a woman that's wild, literally wild because of dope. Like a savage roaming the deserts. Like the man, maniac of Gadara. Thinking tonight about a young person in an insane asylum, less than 25 years of age. Now, wait a minute. They all have one thing in common. Well, several things in common. Number one, they all grew up from the nursery of the First Baptist Church family. Listen to me. Another thing, they went to the beginners, the primaries, the juniors, the junior high, and the high school. Another thing they have in common, they all wanted their freedom. They didn't like the rules. They rebelled against mother. Rebelled against daddy. Let me go through them again. That male prostitute came back to our church. Walked the aisle. Told me, preacher, it's all over. But it wasn't all over. He's back there again tonight. Why? He couldn't shake the yoke of iron. He wanted to be free. Didn't like our rules. That's the place where Brother Howell's old-fashioned. Didn't like the rules. Want to be free! So he got free of the yoke of wood. Tonight he's been bearing for years the yoke of iron. Back to the call girl. Call girl's lost her beauty. They don't want her anymore. Kicked her out. She has no profession. She has no job. Oh, by the way, she grew up in First Baptist Church family. Nursery. Beginners, primaries, juniors, junior high. She wanted to be free. She's tired of the yoke of wood. Tonight she has no profession. Beauty is gone. Attractiveness gone. Life wrecked. No marriage, never will. No family, never will. Can't have children. Physically impossible. Sat right where you're sitting and thought right what you're thinking. He's old-fashioned. He's square. Right where some of you folks hiding back in the shadows tonight. I'm not talking about you folks that have to and are listening. I'm talking about you folks hide back here so you want to pay attention. You wouldn't know me if you saw me on the street. Somebody asked you to write a one-paragraph essay on my preaching over the last 20 years. You wouldn't know what to write. You think you're smart, but you're not. Woof! 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 I want to be free. You will be of the wooden yoke, but you'll bear the iron yoke. Fellow in penitentiary in Virginia came to my office and said to me, teenage boy, by the way, grew up in our church all the way through, came to my office and looked at me and not rudely but frankly, he said, Brother Howes, I just don't agree with what you preach. I don't see anything wrong with this, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with a little marijuana? There's nothing wrong with a little marijuana, but nobody smokes a little marijuana. You'll have a yoke of iron.
He said, not me. I can take it or leave it, but all of them take it.
He's wrecked tonight, serving his second sentence in the penitentiary.
Sat where you sit. Thought the same thing some of you are thinking right now. Some of you freshmen, college students, you sophomores and juniors and seniors and Hammond Baptist high schoolers, thinking what you're thinking right now. What you better do is you better listen to somebody that has seen 40 years of young people come through young people's departments and has seen who turns out happy, who turns out sad, and you better listen to what he has to say and trust what he's saying. Girl, an illegitimate child. Never marry. Child never have a father. Have to tell the child someday how she was conceived. What a yoke. A yoke of someday that child looking at you every day of her life or his life and knowing how he was conceived. What a yoke for you to bear. I could go on. But in every case, of tragedy and heartache, because they don't want that yoke of wood. And they think they can lay down that yoke of wood and have no yoke at all, but you don't do it because as soon as your shoulders are free, the devil's got another yoke to put on you. It's your choice. Which one are you going to bear? Up to you. You're going to listen to the crowd that carries the yoke of decency, yoke of work, yoke of abstinence, yoke of purity, yoke of preparation, yoke of industry, yoke of patience, yoke of rules, yoke of praise, yoke of the will of God. It's up to you. But I want to tell you something. You're going to bear one of those the rest of your life. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That's what he says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, carrying the burden of sin. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Hot dog. Hold it, he says. Wait a minute. You'll not be happy that way. He said, I got another yoke to give you. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke of abstinence. The yoke of purity. The yoke of preparation. The yoke of work. The yoke of praise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Get ready for it, folks who don't like this yoke. Get ready for it. Because many a night you will lie awake bearing that one, remembering the days when you had this one and wishing you could have it back. Shall we pray?